We're on?
Yeah.
On what? On Culture Radio already?
Yes.
It's not 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock.
Okay, I guess it is 9 o'clock. Pardon me. I'm wearing an old-fashioned watch that I forgot to wind, I guess. So I'm not up to date, but the people who are on, satellite time and have plutonium in their watch and are up to the second, tell me that we're on. So, hey, good morning, everybody. Good to hear you and know you're out there on Culture Radio. We'll catch up the rest of you on Instagram and Facebook shortly. We just, our engineer forgot to put their sneakers on this morning. And they thought they were driving on a private highway. Anyway, you got to deal with what you got to deal with. That's what the world is all about. So, you know, I found that palm trees survive because they know how to bend. They don't break, but they bend. Watch out when they snap back. That's the problem. So, hope you like the logo. I've got this great research staff who found this cool picture of that nasty little plumpy baby trying to hammer things wherever the hell he wants. So, we're dealing with a childish mentality. Someone who feels inferior but likes to act superior. So, last week I was kind of ranting a little bit about what has made us who we are. America is this great young 240 plus years approximately democracy. We like to think of ourselves as a democracy, but like any other thing that lasts over a period of time, there are people who want to run it a little more than just a democracy. Normally, we got along, as I said last week, I was talking about whether people want to call you a capitalist, socialist, communist, whatever they want to call you. The first thing you should call yourself is an American. No matter which party you join because you like them better, doesn't mean that you love them. But we all pick things. And the important thing about America that has gotten us where we are is that we're smart enough to, at some point, even though nobody likes to admit they may have bought the wrong food, but when you eat it, you get poisoned, you have to get your stomach pumped out. You sometimes get the point that it doesn't hurt to admit that maybe things have to be corrected. So, as I've said, I look at America as being a free enterprise system. I felt that way ever since I was a kid and started reading and understanding the difference between all the systems that are out there. So what has made us great and helped us being the lead has been we are very free and creative and innovative. People understand that you don't have to come from a specific family, maybe to get in certain schools, but you don't have to come from a specific family to maybe work hard and come up with something and find your niche and make money. And live a good life. Maybe become very wealthy if you find something that everybody wants or needs or decides they can't live without. I mean, Bill Gates decided that everybody needed another window in their house, and his window gets renewed on an annual basis. Used to be in the old days, you'd have to be an insurance agent who sold a lot of policies, and you knew that every year when your customers, as long as you took care of them and sent them cards for the holidays and made sure they were okay, the renewals put money in your pocket even if you didn't sell anything new. So there are certain types of things, interactions that people do. Bill Gates, in effect, came up with something where the windows get cleaned every year and there's a fee for it. There are updates and the rest of it. So they're doing something to keep us online and happy. And the same happens with a lot of things. Amazon, I was thinking about it the last week or two. Man's made a ton of money. He's from New York City himself. He came up with a great idea and a great system. I actually admire it because I was looking at things like that when I was younger, deciding that what the internet could do is deliver more to people. be a central place where you could order and get things sent to you. But the other downside of that, when you understand economics the way I do, is no matter how much money you have, it's all based upon people using your services. Because in a way, while people don't think about it, Amazon's like a very fancy version of a UPS. UPS, which is a gigantic delivery system, which is so smooth, they own land and planes and the rest of it, but people have learned from before there were even airplanes that they had these trucks that would deliver in metropolitan areas. So really, Amazon, its main business, is to deliver other people's products to you. So yeah, they've over the time, I think he understands that, so he's bought certain companies, and people like to, you know, own some of the source of the materials. Gives them another exposure, but it means that he has less competition. But if we all decided overnight that, hell, you know, Amazon's nice, but I realize I could order it over the internet from somebody else and get it delivered by somebody else, and I really don't need Amazon to deliver that book or that painting or that pair of shoes. I can order it through somebody else. There are tons of little businesses and not so little businesses. So all of us are vulnerable to getting along with our market and the rest of it. So what I really want to point out again, as I did last week, was that we have been able to stay at the forefront of being the most powerful financial and democratic government on the planet. That only lasts as long as we keep up. The easy example is the Industrial Revolution, when you study history, basically started in the United Kingdom. They had all these wonderful smokestacks and chimneys and stuff and started making things with steam power and the rest of it before anybody else. So they became the modern Industrial Revolution that could supply the world with new things and better things. But the big mistake they made was you have to always keep relevant. Relevant meaning when new technologies come out, you've got to kind of keep up with it, because a little company can start up and make your product better and cheaper, and suddenly you're not relevant anymore. The real thing that is a constant that people don't think about, they understand it, they've said it, but they don't really get it, is the market. By that I mean the consumer. Without a consumer, as I've said in many of my podcasts, because as I tell everybody, economics is my favorite subject. It's the natural laws that tell us what happens and why. Well, economics kind of dictates that you could have all the money in the world and have power and own companies and maybe want to set your prices because everybody needs what you're making. But you know what? If people decide that, you know what, we don't need you. I'll take product B instead because I'm tired of you telling me what to do. That's the independence of the American spirit. Not going to go away so easily. And that's what makes us innovate. Because we all feel that we can express ourselves through something that we maybe notice that might make a difference or might be useful. Hell, you know, people who came up with the hula hoop and the pet rock made millions of dollars. Does everybody need a hula hoop or a pet rock to live? No. But it hit at the right time. It was marketed well. And everybody was happy that they could buy into it and be relevant. So what happens is with our government, as I've said before, our president, no matter which party he came out of, or she in the future, it's about time that we had a woman, not that we have to just elect one because we haven't had one. We've had a lot of good women who could easily lead the country, and there are some of them around. And, you know, when it comes to buyer's remorse, nobody can tell me that Hillary Clinton could not do a better job of running the country and our relationship with the rest of the world. And I can tell you that I doubt that even Bill controlled her the way Putin controls Trump. So think about it, guys. No matter who you voted for, whatever, When it comes down to it, it's our country. As I said, we own it. Rich or poor, everybody has one share. So the way we make it happen is by voting. I am proud of my country with what happened in 2018. And I'm going to be even prouder in 2020, whether Trump is there or not, that more people come out and vote. Because that's how you exercise keeping our country in shape. The exercise that works for keeping our country in shape and relevant on this planet is by voting. And voting for something that means we're going to stay important, we're going to stay relevant. You can farm out things, you can go to China and get lower costs and keep your profits offshore. But when it really comes down to it, when you hear about robotics and AI, what if every company got robots to do the product they make, manufacturing? Let's get a little science fiction here going. So everybody orders these new robotics and this new stuff, and they want to have the, try that table over there. Anyway, talking to my technical crew. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, so if, let's say, everybody all decided to order robots to make their products and they get rid of everybody who's working for them, who's going to be left in the market to buy whatever it is you're selling? So there is, just like the germs that are in our intestines, it's called symbiosis, where those germs interact to keep us alive by digesting the ugly stuff that we eat and breaking it down so that we can use it. So even though this is bacteria, we know that that bacteria is important to us so that it does its job, so we let it live in our body. We get rid of it, we can't digest food. So there's a certain symbiotic relationship with a lot of things that we may or may not like, or if we were given a choice, we'd say, what the hell do I need that bacteria for? Well, you need it to live. So the market is really important, that if they ever, every company said, hey, I can make bigger profit, my shareholders will love me because I'm going to get rid of every working person. Well, who's going to be left to have a job to consume your products? And no matter how much money you have, the value of your company and your ownership will disappear like smoke. So let's understand all of this. That's why autocrats don't exist forever. Because eventually they'll end up, in the worst case, having a revolution. We had the big nasty guy in the White House was recently reminded me of my growing up days in Brooklyn, in New York City, definitely in the 50s. New York had its share, and I'm sure they still do, of gangs. And back then the gangs were all, by neighborhoods and areas and the rest of it. If you walked in the wrong neighborhood, you better know what you're doing because, somebody might stop you like you were passing through a foreign country. Well, when the president the other day, I hate really calling him that because he's not really the president, not legally as to what I've explained before. Anyway, it's another I word. Instead of impeachment or indictment, it's interloper. Look it up. That's someone who's pretending to be something and is not legally there or properly there. So the interloper in charge, he was standing there, and because he's so weak, he reminded me of these little guys who were like the warlord in a gang. They'd be tough and standing out front because they knew they had all these big guys behind them. He said, well, we've got the military and we've got the police and we've got the bikers. One of the biggest groups of bikers in the country, and I haven't checked to see if they still are, was a group called the Blue Knights. The reason they're called the Blue Knights, they started mainly out of New York and some other areas. That's police who put together the group called the Blue Knights. And it's one of the biggest group bikes. And these are guys who enforce our laws. They don't want to see chaos out there. So whether he realized it or not, because I doubt that he's ridden on a motorcycle in his life, I have. I've owned it. And I think that's part of the American spirit when you get on a motorcycle and drive down the road. There's a certain freedom that matches the spirit of our country. So again, he was trying to be this little bully at the head of a gang, threatening us all that, you know, I've got all these powerful big guys that are going to do things. One-on-one, he wouldn't want to fight almost anybody, because even when he was pre-election, he staged something with Vince McMahon, his buddy, where he tossed Vince out of the ring on one of the wrestling shows. I was laughing. Vince keeps himself in decent shape. He does go to the gym and work out to keep in the type of shape he's in. Whereas our president, another hamburger will do for him. Anyway, so the innovation. There are a lot of things I wanted to say, and I mean, there are just so many things going on. But let's understand a few basics. Innovation is what made us who we are, okay? The economic world engine, there was the book that they had for kids when I was a youngster. It's been around. It was the little engine that could. Well, we are the not-so-little engine that did. We helped move the world. I've worked in the I've worked in most industries. The entertainment industry in the old days was ABC, CBS, and NBC. Those networks knew they had to stay on the bleeding edge, so they always updated. We didn't fall behind. We didn't start the Industrial Revolution and then let everybody go past us. We always know we want to be on the bleeding edge, as they like to call it. But it takes planning and understanding to do that. So when I think back about the energy and what we do, Anyway, when you think back to all of this stuff, you realize that you've got a man, and I saw this president being questioned the other day. So he's a little bully because he's got all these big guys behind him, and he expects them to get hurt and him to stay out of the way if there is a battle. Let's put him in a ring with some real person. I'd gladly meet him in any alley or any street at any time. I'm 4 years older than him. And I love my city, and I love my country, and I love this world. And I don't like anybody to make us all just play by one person's tune. That's not the way it's supposed to be in a democracy and free enterprise. Let me just also say, he was asked in an interview the other day, and he sat there with his dour face. They said, well, what do you think about these white nationalists? It's sad. There's nothing wrong with being white or brown or yellow or pink or red. There's nothing wrong with any of it. Anybody who's heard me talk knows I believe we all come out of the one pot, the God that we all pray to under one name or another. There are very few true atheists on this planet. I mean, I've met a lot. I am very science-oriented, but that doesn't mean I don't believe in God, whatever way you want to talk to him or her. We use him, but God is a spirit, basically, to all of us, not a thing. And there is no him or her. There is God. The thing about white nationalists, when they ask him, he kind of said, what the press should do, and I've been to enough hearings in my life and enough conferences, and I've been on the stage when people want to question me. And you have to have an audience that knows what to do and how to question. What people should have done was just ask him yesterday. Said, well, because when I asked him about white nationalists, he says, well, there are some, there are a few. Not the way he's spoken over time when you listen to him and what he's done. All you have to do is ask him. First question, are you a white nationalist? To see his hesitation. And then say, well, if you think that there are only a few of them, then would you want them in your base supporting you? Now, there's nothing wrong with anybody who is in Donald Trump's base that support him. Except that to the extent that they are true Americans, what they need to do, do a little research and understand what happened with Hitler or Mussolini. They would hold rallies just like Trump has been doing since he's been in office. He keeps holding these campaign rallies where he limits who gets in there. And when you go back and look at it, you could tell that that's the way it is. He wants people who are cheering in the background so you'll think that everybody thinks whatever he's saying is great. Listen to what he's saying. Think about what you would do if you were in charge, and you'd know it isn't great what he's doing. So, and the reason I talk about the white nationalism, when we had these episodes that have been more under his administration, such as I'm Jewish, we had in Pittsburgh, where somebody went into that temple. This was, again, someone who was stimulated by what he is pushing and selling. And he knows it. When he went there to visit, they didn't want him to go to the temple because they didn't want him present, because they knew he was part of the stimulus that caused this person to come out and kill people. He likes to use the other to point to someone, as Hitler, Mussolini, and you can go back into history with Attila the Hun. You could look at the every time. There was always someone who pointed at someone and said, well, we got to get rid of those people. We're at a point where the world is getting smaller. And this is a hard concept for most people to grasp. But as I said, we have enough nuclear materials in our country or in Russia to blow the world up multiple times over. We couldn't even use it all. Before we get halfway through our stockpile, the world would be falling apart. So anyway, nationalism is what caused this thing in New Zealand, one of the safest, nicest countries. But someone who decided that their country is changing. It's not changing, it's expanding. It's accepting the rest of the world. We used to live in little villages apart from each other. But again, I've known since I was a child that if you want to talk minority, on this planet, whites are the minority population. I've gone to schools where I've learned everybody, no matter what they look like, sound like, or anything else, has a brain. How they use it, how we get along is what's important. So what happened in New Zealand is really a tragedy that has come about from this man who stimulates these nut jobs, who feel that he's giving them the license to go out there and do his deed. We got to get rid of these other people. Would any one of you, if you were in your church, your mosque, your synagogue, wherever you go to pray, on your day of peace, which was what yesterday was at those mosques, would you like to think that you go in there, you get on your prayer rug, because that's the way you talk to God? Everybody has their own method. Even within my religion, we've got many different levels and breakdowns, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform. We're all different. We use a different way of approaching it. But these people go there, and they're in a house of worship. The word sanctuary meant that even in the old days, no matter how bad places were, if you went into a church or a temple or someplace, they would generally say it's off limits. It's like if there's a Red Cross on a building, it's a hospital, you don't bomb it. Those are the people they go after as war criminals when they do that stuff. So this guy was stimulated by all the rhetoric, and he put a 72-page manifesto. I think it was 70. It doesn't matter how long. It was just he was ranting. Ranting, nasty ugliness that he was spewing. These people in New Zealand, our heart should go out to all of them. It's the country that was attacked, not just the mosque. Because those people were there praying to God their way, just as we do on a Saturday or a Sunday. How do we have our freedom if we don't give it? As I've said before, one of my bumper stickers that I invented years ago in the late 60s was freedom is a double-edged sword. To have it, you must give it. So if you want to be free, you are never free till you allow everybody else to enjoy freedom. So, again, all the people in New Zealand, let's talk to them, and I'm going to give myself a minute to calm down so I go back to what I want to talk about. But guess what? My old ego followed me in the door today. So I've got to let my old ego go, otherwise my brain explodes. So let's hear from my old ego.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy, as usual, to be here. I want to cover the president's budget right quickly, but I do want to comment on the AE equals MC squared thoughts that he mentioned this morning. I believe that President Trump, when he talks about his bikers, let's remember, we have biker groups and we've had them. You can look at documentaries that are very violent, that kill people, they're into drugs, they're into a lot of things. So while we have bike riders that are just there for the fun, we also have the other element, criminal elements that exist, and that's what he's referring to. The second thing I want to comment on, because I hear this a lot on the television, and it really does stick in my craw a little bit. I'm also Jewish, very upset about what happened in Pittsburgh, but I would love for the nation to be as equally as upset when it's blacks that they're killing. We had a white nationalist go into a church in South Carolina, killed a lot of people. And the thing that bothered me the most was how happy whites were that blacks weren't throwing themselves in the street and upset about this horrific crime. And they treated the white nationalists with kids' gloves, and then you heard nothing more about it. So it's almost like it really doesn't matter. So that kind of really bothers me a lot. So I want to just make a point that the president knows what he's doing. He is inciting people for his purposes, and it's working. And it's much more people than what we would like to believe. All you have to do is go back to prior elections in the 40s and the 50s. And Trump's father was part of that when the KKK marched down in New York City, held their rally at Madison Square Garden. We weren't talking a few people. We were talking millions. So we need to be very careful about what's going on today. Now, on to his budget. And I'm specifically speaking to his supporters, which are mostly white. The few couple of blacks that he has in his rallies, I'm sure he pays them off to hold a sign, Blacks for Trump or Latinos for Trump or whatever the heck they're doing, selling themselves for a little bit of nothing. But these budget cuts, as much as you're jumping up and down, you hate the government, he's doing a great job, it's going to affect a lot of you. Mostly the entire country, but mostly people in the South, in the Midwest, little towns. And let me just bring up a couple of things that I find interesting for a man who claims that he's here to protect our country. He's cutting funding for the Department of State, defense, and Homeland Security that we have abroad, by the way, that is supposed to protect us. So he's cutting those fundings, and he's supposedly bringing it back stateside. So how do we protect ourselves from our enemies or from people who want to do us harm if we're not sitting at the table because we no longer have those people or those agencies or those buildings in these different countries? So we need to pay attention to that, because that's 29% of the budget that he's cutting out. One of the things that really, really I want people to pay attention to, you know, women, when you have a baby, you get what is called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Every state has it. People in Florida, pay attention. He's cutting $17.2 billion from that program, because you know what? We got to pay for these wonderful tax cuts that he gave himself, wealthy people, and CEOs.
That program is known as SNAP for short. You'll recognize that.
Absolutely. And over the next 10 years, because I guess he assumes he's going to be in office another 4 years, and then his kids will continue being in office, $213.5 billion. That SNAP program, women, white women, poor women, middle-class women, whatever you want to call yourself, helps. And it gives these women an opportunity to make sure their kids get what they need. We pay taxes for that, people. It's our taxes. But he's cutting that. He's going to cut the eligibility in the crop insurance program, and he's going to cap those subsidies. Well, farmers who are now dealing with his tariffs, what does that mean to you? You still want to support this man? He's going to cut $136 million from conservation program. And for you people who live in rural communities, who have gotten electricity, telecommunication systems, because you're outside of the mainstream, these budget helps you to keep in touch with what's happening in bigger cities. Guess what? He's eliminating that completely. So you need to really pay attention to what's going on with his budget and what he's cutting. And I see that AE equals MC squared would like to make a comment, and I'll come back later and continue giving you some more of the cuts that are really going to impact our communities, our children, and just our lives.
I wanted to say before my ego puts it, because my ego would often give you more details than I do sometimes. It just depends on how I go off and what I'm talking about. But I was definitely going to talk about his budget, because he didn't put a lot of thought in it. But what he did put in was vile and ugly. But my AE equals MC squared, the original way when I said I stole my my initial sake, Albert Einstein's formula, and put my first initial in front of it, his and mine. And I said AE equals more clarity. That's what the logo is about. Well, again, going forward, because of the way I feel about our country and what we need to do and who we are, also, an alternate meaning for AE went through my mind the other day after my discussion on this show last week, is the AE stands for American Energy, because I don't want us to lose that. We are innovators, we move things, we do things. And it's because we're a nation of immigrants. Immigrants come here, they want to find their way, they start new businesses, they do things, they don't take over. Our country grows. And we keep our position on the globe as being at the front. But American Energy would be the AE. And the MC, you have a choice of makes or moves change. Because it is our energy that has changed things here, and then the rest of the world wanted to follow. The other thing is I have a little sign that I made up because I was thinking about what's going on and what we have to do. And you'll see this little sign if it's showing up on the network and on your phones, depending on how you're watching me. And it says M-I-H. I like simple things that are easy to pronounce. The H is kind of silent. And it would be pronounced my. And when you think of anything or anything's going on, maybe take a pause and say my. Say my, my. M-I-H stands for, and believe me, I put a lot of thought into coming up with something simple and direct. This is what the American spirit did. M-I-H stands for make it happen. And I made a little sign because I went out and I couldn't find the button to stick on my shirt. So M-I-H is going to be one of my themes going forward, because America has always made it happen. We can't get too comfortable and let people misdirect us. And we are a country. We are not just a party. So when that happens, when I say make it happen, Mr. Putin, and I dealt with the KGB. If you've listened to me over time and my podcasts, I've met with a contemporary of Putin's years ago when the curtain was down, before Putin took over the Russia, when it was no longer the Soviet Union. Putin fears a united Europe. All of us, we all have ancestry. We are a nation of immigrants. So, other than the American Indians who came across a frozen piece of land and came here and settled a lot of the Americas, or the Vikings who maybe way back came here, and then the people we dragged here as slaves who we made part of our country, they deserve it as much as anyone because they helped build it. So again, we have to look at it and not be dissuaded by being the other or looking at it. Being who we are, Americans, we all
put our nose to the grindstone, as they call it, and we make the country move. So MIH is make it happen. And you have my permission. Use it. Somebody talks to you, talk about my. That's the spirit that we've always used. As I said, Putin and KGB, because I've dealt with them, fear is a united Europe. We want to move forward, not backward. We also lead by example. We don't just follow, okay? Treat with indifference. I found out when I was quite young, you know, do you want to beat somebody up you hate? Do you want to yell at them? Do you want to spend your time and emotional energy paying them emotional dues because they're so abhorrent to what you think and what we do? The best thing you could do to someone, which is what Nancy Pelosi, I guess, understands, is to show them indifference. When I was very young, I realized that if somebody was that worthless, I looked at them like a piece of glass. A piece of glass, you don't think of as being there, you look through it. So indifference, keep it in mind. Donald Trump, you've got to look at him with indifference because he's going to go one way or another. When I say that, either out of office, indicted, whatever it is, because his I, another I word that's my favorite for him is interloper. He is not really a president. He's there illegally, and I hope to prove it at some point, unless they find out other ways of taking him to task. Now, we need a leader, not a name tag. Trump is a name tag. He brands, because when he brands, he can then get more money in his pocket by selling his brand and marketing. He's a marketing genius. I give him that. But we don't need a name tag. We need a leader. He's not a leader. Nancy, when you follow her and follow her career, she is part of what we commonly refer to as we the people. When she defuse the argument about impeachment. She knows that he's done things that are impeachable, but he wants us to keep talking about it. He wants you to feel sorry that this poor man who is so strong is being harassed. Give me a break. If he's so strong, he doesn't give a damn who's harassing him. If he knows he's right, he doesn't give a damn. If he knows he's done nothing wrong, he would turn out his tax returns and tell Mueller, please publish everything. Anybody who has any bit of sense knows when someone fights that hard to discredit everybody else and doesn't want you to look at things, you would love to see his school record. This thing that came out about wealthy parents paying, why do you think they sent him to an academy? They had to accept him. His father paid the money. Was he a good student? Only if he had to be. I would guarantee that if you got to see his record, because it's come out in the last few months that he sent Michael Cohen to make sure schools that he went to would not release anything on threat of lawsuits. Why does somebody do that? Because they know the bullshit they keep telling you about how great they are is not true. If he's that strong and that good, look at him and say, Donald, show us you're our leader. Tell him to release your tax returns. Show them that you paid to support this country, not just use it. That way we'd all find out. Now, the Republicans, I've had Republican friends, and as I said, that's just going for a party so you can vote in primaries. Republicans are Americans, just like Democrats or independents or anybody else. But I asked my Republican friends, because I've said on my podcast numerous times, my favorite president in the modern times is Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a Republican, but he was a leader. Anyway, and I'm proud to call him my president, and I've been proud of most of our presidents that way. But the Republicans, show everybody you're alive. Put up a candidate. I don't care who it is. You've got a lot of good people who you could put forward, so Trump has someone to debate. Let's see if he could actually discuss a subject rather than just looking at them and giving them a name and dismissing them. So, Anyway, we're going to get back to the budget cuts in a minute, guys, because there's a lot of important stuff. I'm almost done. It was a little laundry list that I had to pare down. And Democrats, I'm really having fun because I look at everything. And I realize that almost all the men or boys, whatever way you want to refer to them, that are running, and they're all good people generally who are running under the Democratic banner at the moment. But almost every one of the males in the Democratic thing have a B name. And they're known by a B name, whether it's their first or last name. We've got Biden, we've got Bernie, we've got Beto, we have Bloomberg, we have Booker. They're all good people. And you know what? Any one of them, if we put them in right now, would do a better job for us as Americans than the idiot who's in there right now who does not understand. All he understood was a single transaction, no matter how big it was in dollars, of finding a piece of property, building a name, putting a name on it, and running off with his fees and leaving everybody else to hold the bag when he declared bankruptcy, which was our dollars that he spent and didn't pay back. We'll go into that another time. Anyway, I love that I see more and more with the election of the Democrats to be in charge in the House of Representatives, that more people, Democrats and Republicans, the women are wearing a neck chain with a little circular thing. It wasn't a birthday present. They're wearing the little House of Representatives seal around their neck. The men are wearing it on their lapel. On the left side, you'll generally see it in the picture. So I'm proud of that they are proud of being part of our Congress. And again, as I said, it's Republicans and Democrats that are wearing it more and more. You've got a ton of people, not just AOC and the other ones they're talking about. Please look at them. They're all smart and they all have great backgrounds. And even right now, if they had to be president, would be better than the idiot we've got there. You've got a Lauren Underwood, a Veronica Escobar, a Katie Porter, and Alyssa Slotnick, and they're from all over the country. Listen to them when they speak. And I think the one thing I'd love to see in Europe when they stop this Brexit nonsense that they've been with is the UCOE, the Unified Countries of Europe, because that's where they were heading. They studied us, and they put together what's called the Common Market and then the Economic Community. So anyway, the female candidates, that's why I talked about it. We've got a lot of great female candidates. We have more that may jump in. Stacey Abrams, who ran in Georgia. The woman is highly intelligent, well-educated. She's a lawyer by training. She knows what she talks about. Kamala Harris. As I said, we've got women, all colors, all sizes, all backgrounds, but all of them smart, and they're all Americans. That's why I mentioned these other names that you don't hear as often. Lauren Underwood, Veronica Escobar, Katie Porter, Alyssa Slotkin. I think I have family members that were named Slotkin when I was a kid. So please, look them up. We have people who love our country and want to serve it. And that's what they're doing. Anyway, we're going to go back to the budget. And before I let my alter ego speak about the budget, the main thing I wanted to point out about the budget so you understand how sick this man is, okay? Remember, he's been fighting to keep campaign promises, supposedly. And he promised when he descended from the heights on that escalator about the Mexicans and all the terrible things, but the wall. Let me explain to you, as an economist, the wall represents a pile of money that won't be handled by a department within the government, but he'd have some control over. And if he had $8 billion, it is not hard to skim off 5 or 10%. So you're talking about $800 million or $400 million that would somehow find its way in his pocket. If you haven't been reading between the lines and understanding what's going on, he does all of his stuff out of Mar-a-Lago, and he charges us when he goes there. He talks to the people from these different industries, and if they want cooperation, what they do is he's given out contracts when these changes I talked about with the VA and their budget. He gives out these new contracts, but the people who get it know that they got it because they're going to contribute from their corporations either into his reelection pack, or they're going to book rooms at his resorts, his golf clubs, or the rest, but they're never going to go there to occupy those rooms, and they're not going to ask for a refund. So he gets revenue without offsetting expenses that goes into his businesses, which he's promoting. He's ripping us off, no matter what shiny objects he throws in front of you. The thing that oversight has to do, and I've spent a lot of times in Washington, and my background is accounting, among other things. They need an audit to see what these new contracts are doing. Those tents that these children and immigrants that he's pulling off the border and throwing them in, somebody's got that contract. I will guarantee that the people he gave the contract to are somehow donating in the background through the back door. And so while he's fighting to keep his campaign promise about the wall so he can get these billions that are under his direct control, let's remember, in the same campaigning he did, he said that we have to protect, and you got to elect me because the Democrats or others, or they're not going to protect you, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Guess what? In this $4.7 trillion budget, he's throwing Medicare and Medicaid under the bus. Social Security will follow. He doesn't care because he makes his money a different way. He doesn't care what happens to the rest of us. So I will let my alter egos talk, but if he wants to keep campaign promises, he promised to protect Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid at the same time he promised to build this wall. Okay? So why isn't he sticking it in the budget? He's using the budget to put the money where he can use it, including his daughter. I will let my alter ego explain about Ivanka and the $1 billion that's in Trump's budget. I'm sure my alter ego knows about it. Back to my alter ego.
Hello. Thank you so much, AE equals MC squared. I want to continue with the budget because I think everybody needs to pay attention. All the deflection that is going on, you're just getting all excited. And I am really pointing to his supporters because I don't think his supporters are paying attention to how they're going to be hurt. They think it's everybody else, those non-supporters of Trump, those people of color, all the people we hate. Okay, so let's just give it a little information here. In his budget, if you live in a rural community, he's going to eliminate the Rural Economic Development Loan and Grant Program. So I don't know, people in Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, and I can go on and on and on. What does that mean for you? Think about it, Trump supporters. But he is going to give the Commerce Department under Mr. Wilbur Ross a 6% increase, which, by the way, is just so that he could eliminate people from the voting rolls under the census. Really isn't doing anything for you. He's going to also, which is really, really interesting, going to eliminate $125 million by erasing the federal contribution to the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program, which funds state consulting services for small and medium-sized businesses. So he's actually the president of big business only, not small and medium-sized businesses. Every citizen in every state of this country should be sitting up and listening to this. People who live in Washington, D.C., because I guess he thinks there's too many people of color there, he's eliminating funding for the District of Columbia Tuition Aid Program, but he's taking that money, adding it to the Energy Department, and he's slashing the science programs and research programs that we need in this country.
Excuse me one second. Let me just interrupt. As I said in the last few podcasts, all of the children in this nation are what's going to run this nation and be there for us, and education. If we don't pay to keep them or incentivize them to keep them in school and get them educated, we pay through the system of jails and pay more per year to keep them incarcerated.
And I want to say that the elimination of the $3 billion cut, and you have to understand all the swamp that he has put in power, the Betsy DeVos, the Wilbur Ross of this world, he's going to take that money and give it to private school, which is what she's all about. So for the rich kids and the wealthy parents like her and Trump and all these other people, they don't care about your children. You need to think about that. So he's getting rid of that. I'm very concerned about what he's going to be doing in Washington, D.C., very concerned about what he's doing in these rural communities. One other thing that you need to know, he's going to be selling off the electric transmission assets of the federally owned utilities companies in the northwestern United States. Well, who is he going to be selling that off to, I wonder? How much money in the back end is he going to get? And interesting that he's choosing the Northeast to do this with. See, these are the things that voters don't pay attention to. And by the way, you don't have to believe me. Go ahead and Google it. The budget is out there. You can look at it for yourself. You don't have to listen to Fox News telling you what a great idea it is to cut all these programs because the president has a plan. Who is it benefiting? Big businesses that are paying him off so that they can get what they want. And we saw that with AT&T and what they were trying to do with their merger and giving him all this money at the hotel. That, by the way, is the property of the federal government. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are paying attention. These are important issues. And by the way, if he doesn't get what he wants, watch and see that he'll shut the government down again in September with the help of his Republican Party.
Now, by the way, as I've said, and I didn't interrupt, on Instagram, you could always find me at AE, the word equals, then MC squared. That's on Instagram. On Facebook, it's the famous AE, the equal sign, the MC, the little carrot, and a two. And email me at AE, the word equals, MCSQ at gmail.com. I didn't even have the time to waste. An hour isn't long enough to say it. What she's talking about, my alter ego, is, and by the way, my alter ego takes me to task if I don't think about everything. That's why I like an alter ego that makes me think enough. I love my country, and I love the people in it, and I can tell you the rest of the world, what I started to say about nukes, because you've been hearing a lot about the budget, you'll hear a lot more about it. I've dealt with budgets all my life, and I've been in Washington a lot. This is one of the ugliest budgets ever put out. Again, Ivanka's for child care, that's a great thought, but he's going to allocate $1 billion that'll be under her deciding where it goes. Remember, I said Trump's idea is to have control over money so that when he lets contracts, people in the back make sure that he gets a cut of what they do through their corporate donations, either to his PACs or renting membership at his golf clubs, other things. This is how money gets into his pocket, okay? Do not be stupid. Nobody's going to hand them an envelope with cash in it. But it's the same thing. It's skimming. It's still ripping us off to enrich himself. So, and believe me, way before they had the word forensics in accounting, I understood auditing better than most people, and I understood how to look at it. Remember, that's how they got the criminals in the old day, Al Capone and the rest. They threw them in jail because they said, look at the way you're living. You don't have a job. How do you live that way? So they can say, you're spending money to live. Where is it coming from? That's reconstruction of income. There are all kinds of way of getting him. As I said, if this man is as strong as his followers believe he is, and I would hope he is, as a real American, then why doesn't he release his tax returns? Okay? He's still going after Hillary Clinton. He wants to investigate her, yet he says he shouldn't be investigated. You've got to start to say, if you were dating this man, would you go out with him a second or a third time? Once he keeps repeating these same things, oh, no, no, I've done nothing wrong. There's no collusion. There's no this. There is so much in evidence
The word solicitation is an interesting word. When Trump stood there during the campaign and he said to the cameras directly, because he thinks we're all stupid, he said, Russia, if you're listening. Now, you know what? Solicitation is an interesting crime. If you're out on the streets and you're trying to make money to survive and prostitution isn't legal, if you solicit someone, you don't have to go to bed with them. You just have to solicit. You can be thrown in jail. You're breaking the law. When it comes to federal election law, it's in the federal election law. Go online and read it. Everything is out there. When you solicit the aid of a foreign national company or government, that is illegal solicitation. That's a crime, okay? He did that when running for president. As I've said on my podcast, he technically broke the rules when he was running for Mr. America. And he didn't deserve to ascend to the title, because when you reflect and know that he's broken the laws, not just the rules, he didn't really earn the title, period. And again, we've got the things where it's well known at this point that he's paid hush money to two women while his wife was pregnant and having his child and everything else to keep them quiet. That again is breaking the law. Those are felonies. So he ran in a contest, a campaign. That's what a campaign is. It's to achieve something. He cheated. If he wants to be big and bad and strong, tell him. All of his followers say, we're behind you, Donald. Release your tax returns. We're behind you, Donald. Say that you want Mueller's report published because you didn't do anything wrong. Don't just keep listening when he says, oh, no, there's nothing out there. There's plenty out there. I've dealt with enough people across this planet, including, as I said, former KGB officers, that you can tell when you're dealing with someone who's not dealing honestly. So again, I'm happy that my alter ego jumped in, but the bottom line is the farmers who've been hurting because of the tariffs, this man does not understand economics. He doesn't have a lick of sense of how the complex economy works. All he knows is if he can get a piece of real estate and build a building and put his name on it, and he can sell apartments and get his fees, he can leave everybody else holding the bag when he declares bankruptcy and does not pay back the borrowings. Everybody's heard that no banks in America were loaning to him anymore, so he went out to the foreign ones. And again, as anybody who understands influence peddling, the Russians are not stupid. They knew if they'd lend them money through the back door, the front door, and then be able to prove it, they'd be able to control him. Anyway, let me let my alter ego, I think they had something else to say, and I've only got about a minute and a half left.
I'm going to make this very quickly because I missed it, and this is very important for people who are working people, by the way, for people who don't understand what Section 8 is. These are people who are working. They're not staying home doing nothing and earn very little. They get subsidized housing. So if your housing would be $500, you pay half, the government pays half. By the way, our tax dollars. And this affects a lot of people in a lot of these southern and western state and rural communities. He is going to cut $6.8 billion from the Section 8 subsidies. He's cutting $1.9 billion from public housing repairs, so to hell with you, keep living in rat-infested, molded apartments. Same thing that he's doing here at MacDill, right? There's a lot of mold and a lot of military housing, but he has nothing in the budget to take care of that. So military people, you're behind Trump, think about that. Think about the fact that you are giving your life and yet you cannot have decent housing.
And by the way, Section 8, the idea is that we don't let people die in the streets or live on the streets. We help support them. People try and work. It isn't exactly half. You just use it as an example, my ego there. But the bottom line is we look at what they're earning and we let them pay what they can and we make up the difference. But we own the property. The reason that, and I've dealt with this 40 years ago and proved it to Congress, and I'll talk about it on another show. The reason that they want to stop the Section 8 housing